Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye on 94.7 The Pulse.
First of all, Councillor Bruce Howard, welcome to the program. Thank you very much for coming in.
Good morning, Mitch. Thank you. Good to be here.
And as I was just saying, I heard you with Dennis on Thursday, so we'll try not to cover the same ground as with Dennis. So first of all, the Cadinia result, you must have been happy to almost get a quota in your own right when you look at the primary vote?
Yes, look, as I said to Dennis, and I've said sort of from that period, once I made my decision to run, I went out and went pretty hard at it and made sure I did a reasonable campaign, and that was reflected by the returning vote. I guess I felt vindicated by the community that they did still believe that I could do the role and do it well.
And it said in the newspaper that you were planning to retire in 2016. So what compelled you to come back?
Well, it's true. I was probably going to retire. I had enjoyed my time on council, but circumstances changed. Had an 18-month sabbatical, which I quite enjoyed and refreshed. I don't know if compels the right word, but I certainly felt that a little bit of unfinished business just towards the end. And I'd spoken to my family and a few friends, and the support was there. The strong support was there. So I decided that I would rerun and take my chances.
And as you also alluded to in the interview with Dennis, some of the other candidates in Cadinia were sort of taking almost personal pot shots at you and talking about the past, and you said, well, that wasn't really what people were coming up and speaking to you about when you were doing your campaigning.
Oh, that's true. Look, of course, a topic of discussion was about what had occurred, but it wasn't a front-of-mind thought that would dictate which way they would vote as such. It was more about, okay, that occurred. There's a new era coming, and the basic feedback was, look, you've been a good councillor, you've supported us, so that support will continue, and that's the theme I took through.
So we're going back to the model where you're now a ward councillor and the mayor, whereas obviously previously it was a dedicated mayor. So I guess the question is, how do you balance those responsibilities of looking after the people of Cadinia and then also looking after the people of Geelong?
Well, I guess first and foremost, it's about Geelong. It's about the city of Greater Geelong and the whole community within that. It's now divided into the four wards, so of course I have a more intimate knowledge of the Cadinia ward, which is now obviously Deakin and Buckley ward together. So I do have a very intimate knowledge of that ward, and I certainly do not profess to be an expert on the north or the Ballarine or even the CBD for that matter, for those who are actually more heavily involved and actually live and activate in those wards. But first and foremost, it's Geelong, and obviously as councillors, we'll all bring our community voice to the table to discuss our ward issues.
And you're now going to be working alongside two other councillors in Pat Manane and Ron Nelson. How has the process been with them so far, speaking with them and working out how best to represent Cadinia?
Look, we actually haven't sat down and had that discussion, but during the campaign, we were all sort of campaigning along similar lines about what the Cadinia ward would be looking for, and I guess we were all taking feedback from different people, so that sort of filtered through the campaign trail. So the obvious ones were the big ones were the Barwon Heads Road upgrade, the Highton Shopping Centre upgrade. There's a couple of smaller issues out there, but they're probably the two main ones, and obviously road repairs around the general area. So they are the main topical ones.
So I went along to the council meeting on Tuesday night, and it was a very orderly process. What were the deliberations like behind the scenes to work out who was going to become the next mayor and deputy mayor, and then building that consensus among all of the councillors so that you could be elected unopposed along with Peter Murray?
Well, this might shock and surprise a few, Mitch, but it was actually quite orderly. We had a good discussion. We were allowed to, we addressed the group, gave our pitch, so to speak, and we had a very simple vote that was completed for mayor and deputy mayor, and it was good. People were very respectful of the process, respectful of the results, and in the very short time I've been there, it's been great. I keep regular contact with all the councillors. And that's a two-way street. And in a very short time, it's been very good. So very optimistic about the future.
So they were really looking at you for your experience, were they? The fact that you'd stood as a councillor before and had been a mayor previously?
I think at the end of the day, Mitch, the fact that it is a whole new era. council is not like a business. I'm in business, and I've been in a government organisation for a long time and been on council a long time. It is a very different organisation in many aspects, and it does take time to learn the processes and who actually runs the organisation, how it's run, and how you build, and you need time to build those relationships, and that's very important. So I think that at the end of the day, I think the council has sort of thought, well, yeah, look, for the first year or two, we need to bed ourselves in as a new council and then build those relationships, and we can all work from there.
So in the meeting, I heard your remarks when you took over the chair as the mayor, and you spoke about, yes, we acknowledge the past, but we're trying to move forward. And also you spoke about the fact that everyone's voice would be respected. So there was this sort of real feeling of coming together and hoping, I suppose, that the council will work together. How will you sort of facilitate that? And how does it compare to previous councils? Because obviously, as just regular citizens, we've all read about all these sorts of, you know, factions and secret deals. So how will you make sure that everyone just gets along and all works as a team?
Well, even when I was on council previously, Mitch, I had two strong non-negotiables. One was communication between us all, regardless of what the discussion may be, and information flow. You know, councillors have to be informed of what's occurring within the organisation, not to get involved in the operations as such, but just to have that knowledge. So when we're sitting down, having a discussion and making important decisions, that we have the information to make a good decision. And that has to be communicated consistently. So what you'll see from me is a strong push on communication that, as I say, is not negotiable, and information flow to all our councillors so we all make good decisions with the right information. And if we can't get it, we'll insist on that we do get it and won't make a decision until we have got it, because you only get to make decisions once as a general rule, or you have to go back and, you know, change or amend, and it's not the best system.
So what are your priorities as mayor? What would you like to achieve?
Well, this will be no secret to anybody, but obviously the Conference Convention Centre is the big one for me. I just see that as a huge economic driver, a great social outcome that could bring, the ongoing employment opportunities, and they're proven around Australia to be a fantastic addition, especially to regional cities. So in that context, that would be the big one, but there's a whole raft of other things that are out there to be addressed.
And to facilitate that convention centre, I presume you're going to have to work with the state government, and we're all very much aware that there is going to be a state election this time next year, and I assume that the convention centre will be one of the big items that the parties will be promising in the lead up to that. I suppose this goes to a bigger point, which is about the lobby groups representing Geelong, Committee for Geelong and G21 mainly. I saw Darren Lyons had a few comments about that in his column on Saturday. Do you think Geelong is well served by those groups?
Oh, look, they certainly have a part to play, because if we use the Chamber of Commerce, for example, been around over 150-odd years, you know, the voice of business, so to speak, been a very strong advocate in many areas. Committee for Geelong is a very strong business lobby group, have a role to play. The Geelong Manufacturing Council, again, very strong role to play. You've got, you know, Deakin University, Bowen Health, a number of organisations out there. All have an important role to play, as does the council, as does G21. So to answer your question, we all have a role to play, but we've been accused of perhaps having mixed messages in the past, and that's the hurdle we want to overcome. I'm having some discussions at the moment about how that might be addressed, that very issue, but that's something for the near future that I'll chat more about. But look, it's important that people understand what are the priorities, and that we focus on those, and we try not to get too distracted from that. Just, you've raised Darren's comment or column on the weekend, and I spoke with my fellow councillors about that, and the only thing I will say at this point in time, what is not true is I do not hate the state government. That is simply not true. I might not agree with everything they've done, but that's not the point. You know, and it has to be said, they've done some very, very good things for us, for the state. And the council must have a strong relationship with the state and the federal government and our interest groups, because that's the best way we'll get the best results. So I just want to put that fair and square on the record, that there is no hate for the state government, because that is just a pointless waste of time and your energy. It's more about building those relationships with the current state MPs and making sure that when we have discussions, they're about Geelong and how we're going to get good results for Geelong.
I mean, if you love them, you hate them, at the end of the day, you've got to work with them, and there's a new Minister for Small Business, and I heard you talking with Dennis about the monitors and all of that process, but at the end of the day, you've just got to carry on with your job, and just basically they'll watch and continue to work with you, but you can't really change what's going on with that, can you?
Going to war with anybody in government is pointless exercise. You know, you've got to sit down and negotiate your way through what the best outcomes are that are attainable. And look, everybody at different times will have different views, which is fine. But you still have to make good decisions for the community. And if we can do that, I'll be happy.
And that's sort of another thing that Darren wrote about you. He said you play your cards closely to your chest, and I suppose you also maybe try and bring a consensus together that you don't necessarily come out forthright, this is my view, I'm not compromising. You're willing to listen to both sides, which is maybe what some people would like to see in a mayor.
Yeah, I guess so, because at the end of the day, you're just one person on council, you're one vote on the council, you're basically the figurehead spokesperson for the group. So it's not about me coming out and giving you the world according to Bruce Harwood. That's not going to happen. But what you will hear is that consensual type of discussion and commentary. I mightn't even agree with some of it, but that's not the point. If the group, the council group makes a decision, that's what we'll stick by. And yes, we'll try and explain how we came to make that decision. And we'll move on from there.
Now, the other issue that I saw that you wanted to tackle was debt, or just balancing the books. What's your approach going to be in that department?
That's a good question, because I actually don't have the answer today. But what I am going to do is sit down with the finance department very shortly and get an overview of exactly where we are, what our options are, what our current debt levels are that have changed a little bit. And there's been a slight change in tact from the administrators, how they viewed that. Is that our best option? It may be. I don't know yet. So I need to find that out, and then we can sit around as a group, make some decisions as we go through the budget process, which will be front and centre in the new year. In fact, it already is now. But we need to look at that and how we're going to manage that.
Because I did know from some of the candidates here at our candidates forums, there was talk that maybe the administrators hadn't done as much work as they could have on the finances side of things. They'd done other things, but not necessarily taken a strong look at the finances and sort of the projection and where we were going.
Yeah, look, that may be the case. Again, it's another discussion that won't take us anywhere. What I want to do, as I say, sit down with the finance department, look at what the facts are today, look at what our options are about going into the future with infrastructure that the community is looking for. Can we do it? Let's get on with it.
And the other issue, of course, is that the CEO has announced his resignation, and he says that it's been in the works for some time, so it wasn't necessarily triggered by the new council. What's the process like in terms of looking for a new CEO? And I presume the CEO is really vital for the success of the council, because that's the person that's going to be carrying out the wishes of the councillors, isn't it?
Exactly, Mitch. It's a pinnacle position within the whole community, CEO of the council. Kelvin tendered his resignation on day one, and while a little surprised, it certainly gives us a great opportunity earlier than expected. We'll sit. I've already had a quick chat with one of our governance managers about how the process will unfold. We'll sit down as a group. We'll get the information about the process. There'll be a committee formed. There'll be a process through recruitment agencies to hunt nationally for a CEO to express an interest. The timing will be through the sort of Christmas New Year period, which isn't perfect, but that's the cards we've been dealt. So we'll work with that. But I think already people know, in the industry know, that this position is available. And I think there'll be some discussions taking place accordingly and some decisions being made. And hopefully we'll get a very good list of candidates, which we'll work through, shortlist, and make a decision.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate it. We won't have the secret question on the way out sort of thing as happened on Thursday. Although I'm sure you're happy to take all of the questions. But we really appreciate it very much that you've come in today. And hopefully we'll catch up again soon.
Rich, any time. I enjoy coming and having a chat to the Pulse crew, and it's very enjoyable.
Thank you very much. Okay. Councillor Bruce Harwood, Mayor of Geelong. We'll take a break. Toby Hagen next.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.